Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory. And it's good to be here one more time. Thank God that we're here in the land of the living. Somebody call it the land of the dying. But we're here, and it's of the Lord's mercies that we're here. He blessed us to see another day. And when I say us, I'm talking about everybody. And like they say, there's a saying that says, when you are above ground, you have options. So it's good to be here. We thank God that we are here, and like I said, we're grateful to be able to come to you again from on Blog Talk Radio with Truth. That is, we have the show Truth on Blog Talk Radio. So we'd like to thank everyone. We welcome each and every one of our listeners, all of our LinkedIn connections, all of our Twitter followers, all of our Facebook friends, and all of our Blog Talk friends. And then all of those, actually, you can listen to the broadcast on the app. If you can just go to the website and bring the link up on your phone, if you have a smartphone, then all you have to do is put in blogtalkradio.com/truth- and you can listen to the broadcast, or go to blogtalkradio.com, just put in Elder Cannon, and it'll bring it up, the show, the Truth on Blog Talk Radio. So we thank God that we're here, grateful to be here, and we ask you, as we often do, because it's so imperative, and that is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And so that's what the gospel message is all about. And the Holy Ghost is eternal life down in your soul. The Holy Ghost is the earnest of your inheritance. Like when you buy a house, you put down earnest money. You put down a down payment. You letting them know you mean business. So the Holy Ghost is the earnest of our inheritance. So we are the purchased possession. So that's why he said the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his spirit. That's talking about make you alive. So that's why there are so many different feasts that they had. And then so the Feast of First Fruits He was the first fruits, talking about Christ, the Messiah. He was the first fruits of those that slept. So then everybody else is going to, because he got up, we're going to get up. So he got up from the dead. That's what he told John in the Isle of Patmos. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Then First Epistle of John 3:16, John writes, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life. And he, you know, for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's the First Epistle of John, not St. John 3:16, but 1 John 3:16. God laid down his life. So somebody, how did God lay down his life? He didn't die as a spirit, but he died as a man. He took on a body. He took on a human body. Emmanuel, God with us. So you are alive. You still have time to believe the message of salvation. That's why Peter preached, not just for them on the day of Pentecost, but it's for everyone. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The promise is unto you. He was talking to the Jews initially, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So it was prophesied in the book of Isaiah. That is one of the prophetic books. But he was going to be a light unto the Gentiles, that his name might be declared throughout the ends of the world. So that was his will. He's not willing, Peter said, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So that was the message John the Baptist preached, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The same message the Messiah, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ preach: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So as we say, our theme, the Godhead, we want you to know, as we know, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So the letter here that was written by St. Paul, one of his prison epistles, was written to the church at Ephesus, one of the churches that he started, written to the Ephesians, letting them know who they were and their position. So encouraging them. So yeah, you could be in a strait, as they say. You can be under a great strain, as we call it, because everybody is going through something. That's what Peter was saying, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found in the praise, glory, and honor at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Then he goes on to say, whom you love him, though you see him not, yet believing, he said, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, as he goes on, of which salvation the prophets searched diligently, prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. So this is what Peter was preaching, and his letter that he wrote to it's a general epistle that he wrote in that day, and it's applicable to us as well. So important. The word is written, Romans 15:4, whatsoever things are written afore were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So it's so very imperative. So that quote I was just saying, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them, talking about in the prophets, when it testified before the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look unto, to look into. And then he goes on to say, wherefore, gird up the loins of your minds, your mind, and be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be bought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So there's so much even more yet to come. We cannot exhaust the word of God. And so the God's word is alive. It's a fresh word. It's a living word. That's why the Hebrew writer says it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder even to the dividing of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, as the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He goes on to say, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him which with whom we have to do. So that's starting off in Hebrews 4 and 12. So it's a living word. It's a live word, not a dry, dead God. But Peter said that we are lively stones. Ain't no dead, dried out stuff, dead, dried out religion, something that people acting like is making them sick. No, he is an awesome God. You can serve him. You won't be hung over. And I thank God that he brought me out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so the 11th of this month, actually, it was on a Wednesday night that I received the Holy Ghost. I went down in water. I was baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with tongues, as the Spirit gives utterance, just like in Acts 2 and 4, just like it was prophesied by the prophet Joel, it shall come to pass, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. So I'm thankful. I'm grateful. I'm here, and somebody gave me 6 months. And August the 11th, 1976, a day or so afterwards, when I went to work and told this guy that I got saved, that I received the Holy Ghost, he laughed. I remember that. And I'm still here, and it's been 41 years. So God is no joke. Many dangers, toils, and snares, and tears, and temptation, but I'm here. Like Apostle Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God, whether I or they. Christ is preached, and so ye believe. So it's not about us. It's about him. He's able to keep you. Somebody said he can keep you if you want to be kept. I got news for you. He can keep you if you don't want to be kept, because our flesh don't want to please God. So it's enmity against God. So you're in the flesh, but we don't walk in the flesh, but we don't war after the flesh, the writer says. Though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. So we're walking in the Spirit when we do what God says, and so that's so very important. So I'm not sad about it. I know many have gone into eternity. Many people of God, many people who did not have the Lord have gone into eternity. So I'm glad to be here. And so should you desire to call in Truth Ministry, you can call in. Our call-in number is 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285. You can call in should you have a question or you have a comment pertaining to the subject, what we are talking about. So we're continuing in the book of St. John, our theme, ongoing theme, the Godhead, and we're talking about only believe. So this is part five, only believe. So that's why the book was written. That's why he came. That's what we have to do. That's what he said. When he returns, shall he find faith in the earth. So we got to have faith. Not faith in faith, but faith in God. So this is what it is so important to believe. And that's why Isaiah wrote prophetically in the 53rd chapter, who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord been revealed? He shall grow up as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He goes on to say, when we should see him, there should no beauty we be desire. And he was a man of sorrow. He was acquainted with grief. We saw him. We hid as though our face from him, stricken and smitten of God. And he went on to say he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So this is what the message is all about. It was prophesied of him coming. That's why he told the Pharisees, if you had known Moses, you should have known me, for he wrote of me. So it's not going to be, like I said, it's not going to be funny. And he talked about hell more than he ever did heaven. There's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. They're going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. They ain't going to be laughing, talking about putting more coal in the fire, just stupid stuff people used to say. The devil ain't got no red suit on with a pitchfork and none of that foolishness. But he's a angel of light. He's a deceiver. He'll use whoever he can. So that's why we have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Like Peter said, in the midst of a crooked and perverted generation, St. Paul said, among whom ye shine as lights. So you know what the words say? You know it. You see the devil coming. It's praying time. You don't wait till he get there. When you see him coming, it's praying time. So we can rebuke devils because we know that he is the enemy of our soul. And not just the devil, like Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary walketh as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He is no match for God, but he is, Peter said, your adversary. So we got to be sober and vigilant. We got to watch and pray. And so that's, a lot of people have play on words. You'll watch as well as pray. He didn't say that. He said, watch and pray. So it's equally important. So the emphasis is on both of them. And you got to watch yourself more than anything, because your worst enemy is not the devil, but your worst enemy is yourself. Like they say, you're carrying him around, your own self. Look in the mirror. So we thank God that we're here, that we're able to get in his word, to look in the mirror, the perfect law of liberty, as James say. We don't want to forget what manner of man that we are, but we don't want to be a forgetful hearer, but we want to be a doer of the work. James goes on to say, that man shall be blessed in his deeds. So do what he says. That's why he says, blessed are they that keep his commandments. They might have a right to enter in through the gates of the city. So we got to do something. You know, they got a little, they got all kinds of sayings that came out of the pit of hell. Yeah, it's already done. No, it ain't. You got to do something. We got to do his commandments. You can just do nothing, and you're going to be destroyed. That's stupid. Paul told Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. So people get discouraged sometimes, and most people, human beings, when we get bummed out, as we say, bummed, we want to be left alone. That is a trick of the devil. That's what happened to the prophet Elijah. All of them people, he called down fire on Mount Carmel. He was on the run from one woman, on the run by one woman, that was Jezebel. Got all discouraged and on the run. God let him know, I got 7,000, because he thought he was the only one left. I got 7,000 having bowed the knee unto Baal or kissed his image. So God is still the same. He gives us the victory, and the devil is still a fool, and he hates us all, and he's a thief, and he wanted to destroy us all. So we got to know who he is, and that's why we're trying to help somebody else. It doesn't matter. I know I got a bullseye on my back, and that's okay. And I'm still here. I'm still here because the one who got my back, ain't nobody watching his back. So he never sleeps. He never slumbers. So today we're going to continue only believe. And so we're talking about the night cometh when no man can work. So we commence here in the ninth chapter of St. John. Now, we know that we had went through the eighth chapter of St. John. We're talking about the woman that was taken in adultery, how they brought her to Jesus, and they didn't bring the man, which is stupid. So he said, I don't condemn you. You know, where you're accused. Everybody eased out of there when the master was writing on the ground, when he was saying, he that is without sin, let him first cast a stone at her. That was the law. Two or three witnesses, the man and the woman, were stoned to death. You can't bring a woman that you caught in the act, but you didn't bring the man. That's ridiculous. So that sounds just like the devil. Somebody with a plot in their mind to try to destroy her and not bring the man. But that's not the way it works. So you got to bring them both. So that's what we were talking about on last week in the eighth chapter of St. John. We go on. He's talking about the truth and who he was. And you continue my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And they were talking about they were never in bondage. You know, we're Abraham's children. He was saying you were Abraham's children. You would do the works of Abraham. And then so they go on here. And then he was letting them know that you don't have God's word in you. You don't even know who I am. You're not, you know. And then so the devil, that's the biggest joker. He's a joker. Because if when you get him, and you got people that's got spirits in them, devils in them, then they throw off. They want to hurt you. They talk about threatening you. They talk about you got a devil. And it's a mind game. It's what the whole thing is. And then they talk about you. They want to kill you. So I done been threatened too. So that's the way it is. And you got to realize who's talking. And so the Lord told us that he would never leave us nor forsake us. So that's like in the book of Hebrews. He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say the next statement, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. But perfect love cast out all fear. So I used to be fearful, but I'm not no more. So, and not only that, I'm living by myself. I mean, all my kids are grown. My wife passed away almost going on 6 years. So we were married over 39 years. So she passed away in December of 2011. So I'm by myself. So, you know, I'm in a place that I've never been before. Never thought that I would move far away from where I was living. But God's got people all over. And you know, sometimes you don't know what you may, where you may end up. And so a lot of us, not just talking about me, but a lot of people, we are not where we shall be. And not only that, like somebody said, be patient with me, because the Lord God is not through with me yet. So we're continuing on here. So they tried to trap him in his words, tried to say he had a devil. And, you know, you're making yourself equal with God because you said God is your father. So they didn't realize he's the son. The sonship is an office. And the office is still operating. He's the head of the church, which is his body. So thanking God, we thank God for that. So I see that I do have a call. Let me take this call here. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead, caller. Hello? Hello? Oh, it dropped. You can call back. So that call dropped. But, so we're grateful to be here as we move on here in our lessons. So today, in the ninth chapter of St. John, we start off, so Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. So whoever the caller that called, you can call back. I don't know what happened on that call, but you can call back. So he was born blind. So he passed by. He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? So people always try to trap people in stuff. So Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. So remember now, he knows all things. This is what he said after he rose from the dead in the 21st and the 22nd chapter of St. John, when he told Peter to feed his sheep, feed his lambs. You love me? Peter said, you know I love you. And Peter went on to say, Lord, thou knowest all things. So we got to know who he is and who we are talking about. So we don't understand, because God is eternal. He can do whatever he wants to do. He can be whatever he wants to be, never cease to be who he is. He can't be confined. He can never be what he is not. When he gets done being what he wants to be, goes back to being what he always was and what he never ceased to be, he's always God. It's because he became a man, he didn't stop being God. Because he became the Son of Man, he didn't stop being God. But God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. The sonship is a office, whom he made the world, said, who being the brightness of his, the express, the brightness of his, of his, of him, and the express image of his person. So it was him, is what he's talking about. Somebody is the express image, it's him. When you have an image of somebody, that is a picture. That's not the real, that's not the person moving around. And it, like we say, I remember somebody made a comment on Facebook. Somebody met this particular person and said, wow, you know, that the person looked better, or I forget exactly what the comments were in person. But actually, that's because you only have an image. When you have a picture, you see the person, that same person that you saw the image of, you see the person live and in color. You don't just see the image. So that's why, even like in broadcasting, people who do Facebook Live, people who do Periscope, people who do Instagram live streaming, you actually get a better. You see the person, because I've done many Periscopes, and I'm going to get back into the Periscope that I was doing. Actually, we had a group of people. We had a series on grief time, and we're going to start it back up. But anyway, a number of us used to see each other live stream, not that long. And then last year we met each other in Las Vegas, Nevada, in March of 2016. We came together. They had what they called a one-year anniversary of Periscope, which has been over 2 years now, because it was 2 years old this past March. So it's almost 2.5 years. So we end up, a number of us met each other. So we actually saw each other do live stream. Then we met each other in person. So when we saw each other, we knew who we were. It was amazing. It was amazing. It's like seeing somebody on TV, then going to meet them. But should you desire to call, you can call 929-477-2285 as we move on in our lesson on this evening. So he was saying, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. So this is even now. That's why he was saying, when he go back, it's expedient that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come, which is the self same one is the Holy Ghost. So what he was saying is, I'm going to come in another form. I'm going to be in you. So the works that I do, greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. So the Father is the Spirit. So That's what he was talking about. God didn't stop being God because he became a man. And that's what amazes me. The devil got people tricked. They think it's three. They think it's two or three. It's ridiculous. But they can believe that people have the Holy Ghost, but God can't be one person. That's ridiculous. That makes no sense. God is, that's why the word Godhead, like I said, it only appears in the Bible three times. In the book of Romans, is eternal power and Godhead. In the book of Acts, ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto silver and gold. And in the book of Colossians, in him, talking about in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. So Paul, even when he preached to the church at Corinth, the Corinthian church, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. But in the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And then he went on to say that the weakness of God is stronger than men, and the foolishness of God is wiser than men. You see your calling. Not many wise, not many noble hath God called. And then so he was saying all of the things that he'd done, and that no flesh will glory in his presence. And he went on to say, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And that's out of the book of Jeremiah. So you got to realize who it is that was talking. Sometimes he was talking as a man. Here in this book of St. John, he's talking about a divine God. That's why he got so many miracles. He started off, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He didn't start off with no genealogies or the beginning and of the ministry of Jesus, the Son of God, like in Luke when he wrote, and Luke and Matthew, they give genealogies. But Mark didn't give genealogy. He was a great worker and all in the book of Mark. He did miracles and all. But in the book of St. John, he is the divine God. And, I mean, he laid it out just like he wanted to lay it out. And then God knew, and I say this because people try to act like, about the Bible, where the Bible don't really mean this and that and the other. God knew that they were, what they were going to do when they translated the Bible from the Hebrew canon to the Bible that we have now. But God is wise enough. He left on record what he wanted to leave on record. And so it doesn't matter. There's so many different languages. Everybody is not going to speak Hebrew. There's so many languages in the world, between 6,000 and 7,000 languages. So everybody don't speak Hebrew, but he is the God of the whole world. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. Isaiah said he fainted not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Talking about God, he giveth power to the faint. Them that have no mighty increases strength. Even a youth shall faint and be weary, and a young man shall utterly fall. But Isaiah goes on to say, the Lord talking through him, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's why he was saying, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. So he never sleeps. He never slumbers. So he is the eternal God. He is underneath his wings is everlasting strength. He's going to thrust the enemy through. So God is just letting, everything is just playing out, as we would say. Everything has to be fulfilled in God's word. And so time is winding up. So that's why he gave us the signs of the times, as was in the days of Noah. Talk about all the things, the violence, all the things that are happening. And in the days of Lot, the things that they did, they planted, they sowed, they built. Then all of this other stuff that's going on, God made a woman, God made a man, and he made the woman for the man. That's why Adam said, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, You shall be called woe man because you came out of man. Not two men together, you can't procreate. And not only just that, or two women together, you can't. But not only that, but he made them for the woman for and the man to have pleasure, not just to make babies. So people scared to say it. No, not just for, you know, to have babies, but to have pleasure to God did it. So he knew what he was doing. So that we need to have peace with that, that he knows what he's doing. He's God. So don't worry about all the other stuff. He's going to take care of it. Just get ourselves right. Repent and believe the gospel. Do works meet for repentance. So it's so simple. All he told us to do is repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. He promised to give us the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what we have to do. So then continue on in his word. Continue on walking with him. And so he goes on here, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. So remember now, it was a shadow of things to come in the Old Testament. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was doing his earthly ministry, they were still under the law. But God, which quickeneth the dead, that means he makes the dead alive. And he calleth those things that be not as though they were. That's why he said, you are the light of the world. A city that sit on a hill should not be hid. And he was saying, men, they don't light a candle and put it under a bushel. They don't do that. They put it up where you can see. Because they didn't have candles where you just hit the light switch. Lamps and lights where you just hit the light switch. They had candles. You had to light the candle. So you light the candle so you can see. So that's why he said that his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It shows us which way to go. So we go on here, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the blind man, the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. So what that mean? Obey. Just like I made mention on before about Saul not obeying the voice of the Lord when Samuel said, hath God not great delight as burnt sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? So in other words, he didn't do what God told him. And, you know, he told him who to destroy. So he just saved what he wanted to save. So he didn't obey God. That's why he was saying to obey is better than sacrifice, than the fatter, you know. So if you don't obey, you might as well be worshiping idols if you don't obey, because you're not doing what he says. So he goes on here. He went his way, therefore, washed and came seeing. So he was obedient. He obeyed. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? A question. Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. I'm he. I'm the one that was blind, what he said. So therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes, and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam, and wash, and I went, and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. They brought him to the Pharisees, him that was afore was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and washed. I washed in due seed. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not a God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among the people. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him? that he hath opened thine eyes? All these questions. He said he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, Is this your son, who say ye was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. Now didn't they tell them just what they needed to know? They answered their question. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man should confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. What a bunch of idiots. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, what? That whereas I was blind, now I see. Then say they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already. You do not believe. You do not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses, As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Now this man said this, not them. Jesus didn't say this. Since the world began, that it was not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Then, and Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say we see, therefore your sin remaineth. So you can't see unless you're born again. Think about the statement. He said, Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He's talking about the spiritual kingdom. He did miracles so people can believe. But he didn't come to call the righteous, but he came to call sinners to repentance. So he's talking about you got to see. You can't see. You can't understand. You can't, like we say, when we talk about seeing, we're not talking about with our eyes. Oh, when somebody is explaining something to someone, I see. That means they perceive it. That means they understand what somebody is saying. They say, I see. They got an understanding of what you're saying. So this was what he had come to do, and he believed on him, and so that's the end of this particular account and this chapter in the ninth chapter of St. John. So we'll move on here into the 10th chapter. So remember, we're still talking about only believe. And so we got through that part where he healed the blind man. And so should you desire to call in, you still have time to call in. Our call-in number, 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285. 929-477-2285. So, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that openeth, entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what these things were, they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. So that's that same I am, just like an Abraham, when he said, before Abraham was, I am, in St. John 8:58, the same one, the same I am. It's like somebody said, let's talk about Jesus. Song says, the King of kings is he, the Lord of lords supreme, throughout eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. So that's who he is. He's the great I am, the King of kings, the Lord of lords supreme throughout eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. He went on to say, I love him better every day. I love him better every day. Close by his side, I will abide. I love him better every day. And so he said, a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giver, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. The wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and have known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice, there shall be one fold, and one shepherd. And that is talking about the lost sheep, not the lost, that is not talking about the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's initially who he came. That's talking about the Gentiles. That's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So, not just the house of Israel, but everybody else is included. If the Gentile world, whatever, you know, kindred, tongue, nation, and people, the door is open for everybody else to come in. Some people try to come with that argument. Yeah, he came unto his own. They didn't receive him. But as many as received them, him gave he, even to them he gave he power to become the sons of God. Not to them that believe on his name, but on his name, but they were accepted. So that's what we read part of our intro when we come in of the other people that he came to do. So that won't stand. But he goes on here to say, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He goes on to say, which are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So it is the will of God. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So that's why he said, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So that means every human being is what he's talking about, not no animals. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So nobody don't want to come into condemnation. Nobody don't want to be, and nobody in their right mind don't want to be lost. People say stuff, but they don't know. So he goes on here, other sheep, like we just read. So it's going to be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me. He's talking about his life. But I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear him, ye him? So that devil is a real fool. I mean, you see a miracle, you know it's God, but you're so contrary. Don't that sound like 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue? Just never take responsibility, blaming stuff on everybody else. That's just like the devil. What is he? The author of confusion. God is not the author of confusion. The devil and his imps, they are. The devil is the author of confusion. So that's stupidity, what that is. So others said, these are not the words of him that hath the devil. So in other words, when you got people, and then people are divided. So he was saying, there was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these things. And then many of them said, now, he hath the devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Is a question. And it was at Jerusalem, the Feast of Dedication, and it was winter. Jesus walked into the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? Now, you know that's a lie. Nothing he's doing to make you to doubt. If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not the works that I do. In my Father's name, they bear witness of me. That's why he was saying, believe me for the work's sake. So he goes on here, but ye believe not because ye are not my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now here's there's the awesome statement. I and my Father are one. So what do? You give the devil, he get mad. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed unto you from my Father. For which of these works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. So they knew. So Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, ye are gods. And he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. Say you of him whom God the Father has sanctified and sent unto the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. What is he saying? I'm in the Spirit, and the Spirit is in me, the self-same one. So the devil knows. The devil knows who is of God, even among the people of God. So he goes on here, therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hands. Remember I said before, they couldn't get him until it was his time, because he already said he came to lay down his life. That just goes to show you demonic, but really, there's no such word as a demon. That's of biblical scholars and all that. They made up that. But actually, when you look at the titles and some of the over the paragraphs when you read in the Word of God, but when you read the actual text, it says devils with a little d. It don't say demons. They say that. So, but devils are liars. And you get them straight, and then they want to lie. You get somebody straight, and they say you got a devil. You get them straight, and then they want to stone you. You get them straight, they want to threaten you. You get them straight, they want to kill you. It's the same thing. It's the same devil that's killing people in the world today because it's in their heart. So they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hands, and our time is almost gone out of their hand. And went away again beyond Jordan unto the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there. And so we're going to come back on again on next time. We're going to end it right there for this time. Thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And as we always say, because we are concerned about your soul as an apostolic. That means we believe in the apostles' doctrine, Ephesians 2 and 20. We're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, we know all the apostles are dead, so we're building on the foundation that they laid. We are doing what they say. There are no apostles today. The 12 apostles of the Lamb, names are going to be in the 12 foundations in the holy city in the New Jerusalem, that city that John said he saw, the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, that city suspended in midair. That's where the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So all these folks nowadays, what are they named? It's ridiculous. Like I said before, they were chosen by him. They were eyewitnesses. They were taught personally by him. They laid the foundation. They wrote the New Testament scriptures, the apostles, and they died horrible death, everyone except for John the apostle. He was in the isle called Patmos, and he was in the spirit on the Lord's day. He was there, but he had to see the end. He had to write those things which he said. He saw the revelation. He gave us the revelation of Jesus Christ. So as we said before, we say again, have you receive the Holy Ghost since you believe. God bless you.